we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We pray that today is a great day for you because it is the day that the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice and be glad in it. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. A lot of people call and ask, they said, what kind of church is an Assembly of God church? Well, we're a Pentecostal Protestant church. That, if go back to 1517, that was when the Protestant branch split off from the Catholic church. And then in the early 1900s, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place in Topeka, Kansas, and spread to Los Angeles and around the globe. And that was when Pentecostalism really kind of took off. So we believe in, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. It is without fault. It is the inerrant Word of God. And we are well served to be able to read the Word, study the Word, so that we can show ourselves a workman that needs not to be ashamed. So we welcome you today. If you miss a program, you can catch it on some of our rebroadcasts. We're 8:30 of a morning is the primary broadcast. 10:30 of a morning over on WWBC 1510 AM is the first rebroadcast. And then back here on WMIE at 5 p.m. for a rebroadcast. And if you happen to miss those times, you can download the program, kind of podcast style, I guess, through the WMIEFM.com webpage. And so we want to encourage you to avail yourself of those opportunities. And as technology comes along, we may add other venues as well. And by that, I mean not that the technology isn't there, but I'm not there technologically. So we are in Isaiah chapter 59 currently. We are started reading yesterday in verse number 1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." That's where we read yesterday. We're not going to read the entire chapter today like we did yesterday. We're just going to read a few verses here and see how far we get. "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does anyone plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence, and the act of violence is in their hands." Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. So yesterday we talked about God's capacity to deliver and is not diminished. He can still save. His ear is not heavy. He's not lost the ability to hear. But the truth of the matter is, sin damages our relationship with God. It damages us. It impairs us. And he goes on in verse number 3 today, and it says, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity." Your hands are defiled with blood. That what that means is that there were people going around and they were devaluing human life to such an extent that they thought that their offense entitled them to remove the offender out of their life on a permanent basis. In other words, there were people going around killing people. You know, it is tragic that we live in a day and time where there is such a disregard for human life. And we see it all over the place. It is not a disregard that is diminishing. It is a disregard that is finding manifestations in more and more areas of society. That's a problem. You see, God values life. God wants you to have abundant life. God wants you to have eternal life. God wants you to have a rewarded life. And he wants you to have a holy life. See, a lot of people are more concerned about their happiness than they are about holiness. That's a problem, because God knows that the secret to a peaceful and jubilant life is having your sins forgiven and living a holy life as the blessed of the Lord. So he says, your hands are defiled with blood. That's going to damage a society. Do you know that in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, that if a person was murdered and they did not know how to do it, that society was required to go and do an investigation. If they still could not find out who it was that killed the person, then the religious leadership would go to the place where the crime happened, and they were supposed to offer a sacrifice and said, "God, we can't find out who did this. We don't have any way of doing this. We have made our best effort. God, we are not guilty of this. Would you please accept this offering? Because we don't want to live as a people not walking in fellowship with you." So whether it was the Amalekites who didn't value the life of the Hebrews, whether it was the Egyptians who didn't value the life of the Hebrews, whether it was Herod, whether it was God, you know, they slaughtered the babies, Pharaoh slaughtered the babies, there were other, Saul didn't value the life of the Gibeonites. Anytime life becomes cheapened, to say, you know what, my offense needs to be dealt with in such a manner that you just need to lose your life. You know, if it's outside of the parameters of God's word, that's wrong. It's wrong. So there are battles and things like that, and people, you know, go to war many times for all the wrong reasons. But, you know, there was a difference between the lives that were lost when David was waging war and the life of Uriah, whom David sent into battle with the express purpose of seeing Uriah get killed. I don't remember exactly where the passage is, but I remember that the first time that the children of Israel, I guess it's in Joshua, let me see if I can find that for you real quick, that Joshua and the people went into battle against Ai, and they were defeated. And let me see if I can find it. And when they were defeated, it says that they were routed by the enemy. Yeah, I found it here. It's in Joshua chapter 7. Let me show you how much Joshua valued his people's lives. Okay? Now, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up from there, from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men. They chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent, and therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell on the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us?" Joshua was devastated at the death of 36 people. 36 people. Go take a look at any newspaper or any news site, legitimate news site, and see if you can find a major city where there have been 36 people killed this year. And then I want you to strive diligently to see if in any of those cities, in any of those places, if you will find the leader of those cities on their face before God saying, "God, what happened? Why are so many lives being lost in the city?" I don't know that you'll find one. There'll be people who point the blame at this or that, you know, because it scores them political points. But they've got to realize that there is something wrong spiritually whenever life is being lost in mass. Okay? He said, "Your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity." Iniquity basically means a lack of equity. And from what I have been told here over the past few months is that there's been a shift where people are no longer crying out for equality. They're calling out for equity. And one is equal opportunity. That would be equality. And the other one is equity, meaning an equal outcome. And I can tell you that with God, all of us have the same opportunity. We have the same opportunity to hear the Word of God. We have the same opportunity to repent of our sins, to be changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love the fact that God wants us all to come. God's not up there and saying, "Okay, you can come today, but nope, the rest of you, you're too late. I've done given out everything that I had to offer." I am glad that we all can come boldly before the throne of grace and find help in our time of need. But there's an aspect of society that says it doesn't matter who you worship, doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're sincere in what you believe, we're all going to end up in the same place. Well, I can tell you, when I was in school, that I was very sincere about doing my work. I was very diligent about doing my work. But when I made an error, it did not produce the correct answer. And so I've told this story before. In my arrogance, I thought I had found an error in the textbook because it told me in the back of the book what the answer was. But I was going through the process, but I made an error along the way and it didn't give me the right answer. And I said, hey, I look at this. I'm not getting the right answer. Can you find anything wrong? And so I handed that to the person in front of me. They couldn't find anything wrong. And they were older than I was. And I could turn it to the person to the right. They were smarter than I. They couldn't find anything wrong. Turn to the person in the back. And they couldn't find anything wrong. And it's like, I am emboldened. I am emboldened. And so I go up and to the teacher and I said, I believe that the answer in the textbook is wrong. And she said, well, let me see your work. And she didn't look at it for 2 seconds and identified where the problem was in my process. And even though I was very sincere, I didn't get the outcome that I wanted. And I went back to my desk, corrected. But I will tell you this about that teacher. She believed in me. She wanted me to go on. She wanted me to take a summer school class because it was going to enable me to take a more advanced class. And she wanted the best outcome for me. My dad said, nah, I don't think going to summer school is in the best interest for you. Mine wasn't for a remedial sake. Mine was for mine was for advancement. So I can tell you that not all lifestyles are going to produce the same outcome. You and I, we're responsible for coming and doing life the way that God tells us to in His Word. So He says, your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. Perverse means that which is crooked. And it means it is not up to the standard. And so their activities was one of hostility towards one another, towards killing one another. They did not value one another. And he said, because you don't value one another, you stand there and you lie to one another. I believe it's the book of Daniel that talks about some kings are going to come together and they will meet together and they will lie to one another. I remember a conversation that my son had with me. It started off with me making a rather noble statement. It said, after I get done with this project, I'm going to slow down. And my son said, Dad, quit lying to yourself. You're not going to slow down. Well, I want you to know, I'm very close to the end of a different project about 10 years down the road, but I can tell you that there is a high motivation in my life to not tackle any more special projects of a renovation nature anytime soon. I haven't recovered from the one before the one I just did. So my wife and I are firmly entrenched in shifting gears away from the painting of rooms and things of that nature. We are done. We're looking for a change. And so it says, your tongue has muttered things that do not measure up to the standard. You know, I don't know if you've ever realized this. Some of you might not frequent home improvement stores. It took me a long time before I realized this. I thought that if you just went and grabbed a 2x4 off of the shelf and you took it to your house or wherever you were going to use it, that it would be straight. And I saw people and they'd look at it and turn it over and then they'd put it on their cart. I just thought it was something that they were doing. I didn't realize that they were looking at that piece of lumber to try and determine whether it was going to be up to the standard that they could use it on their job site. You know, it's interesting. A 2x4 is actually 1.5 by 3.5. Used to be 2x4. A 4x4 used to be 4x4, and now it's 3.5 by 3.5. And I could tell you that the reason that I know that is because I had to replace a 4x4 one time, and the 4x4 that I bought at the current, the standard had changed from when that original one had been erected. So if society is lying and God's standard is truth, we're not going to get the same outcome. I can tell you that I learned very early in life that lying to my parents was not going to get me the outcome that I wanted. I learned to adjust my mouth very quickly so that I told them the truth. Truth is the language of the kingdom of heaven. Lying is the language of the devil and hell. It is his native tongue. So when we are deceiving one another, when we are lying to one another, we are damaging, we are devaluing, we are basically telling people, you don't deserve the truth. You can't handle the truth. And so in the kingdom, truth is paramount. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So people devalued one another to the point that they killed them. They devalued one another because they lied to them. Now it says this in verse number 4. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. No one calls for justice. Here's what I wrote down as I was preparing to come in this morning. People tend not to call for God's justice when they are the ones that are guilty. You want to know when people call out for justice? They want to call out for justice when they perceive that they are the victims and they are the ones who have been wronged. Okay? God's looking for a people who say, you know, I remember a time when justice was something that was practiced. And I can tell you that there is no utopian period in American history or any history where justice was served completely. Okay? Any justice system that is departed from God is not just. So one of the cabinet positions in the United States government is the Attorney General. He oversees, quote unquote, the Department of Justice. And it's interesting to watch the different attorney generals as to their determination as how justice is administered to the people while they're in office. You know what? That's a very dangerous place to be. Because the Bible says, with whatsoever measure we use, that's going to be the measure that is used against us. And so if we have a perverse justice application where we are punishing our enemies and rewarding our allies or ignoring the behavior of our allies, then we're going to be measured by a corrupt standard that we have set. God says, you didn't treat other people the way that they were supposed to be treated. That's not right. So no one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. Now, one of the things that I learned many, many years ago is that there were people who would redefine words. One of the things that I have learned from my adult children over the last several years is that people are still redefining words. And so they would tell me, Dad, that doesn't mean what you think it means. And I was like, well, I know what it used to mean. And they said, well, it's not what it means anymore. And so you've got to understand that if you're going to communicate with somebody on an intellectually honest level, you need to find out, what do you mean by this? What do I mean by this? And most importantly, what does God mean? What does God mean? So I'm here today to tell you the Word of God is the standard of justice for eternity. It's not going anyplace. And even though there may have been some very poor applications in the past, there were people who were victimized in the past, we cannot just shift and say, okay, well, to make this balance out, we're going to ignore that aspect of society and we're going to mistreat a different segment of society. That's not God's justice system. Here's God's justice system. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Apart from Christ, I'm a sinner that's going to split hell wide open, and so is everyone else you see. But God, in his mercy, said, I'm going to pour out my justice on Jesus because he is not perverse. He is holy and righteous. Today, I pray that you will accept his glorious offer of forgiveness and you'll walk in the truth and you will value those that God has gifted into your life and surround you. I pray that you have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
When I consider what you have made, the mighty oceans, the fiery stars, the fields and forests.